Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Fragamenti. I'm your host, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Good to be with you today. It's been a few weeks since we did a show. We'll explain what we were doing or not doing for the last couple of weeks. But it's a big week this week because we've got, but you know, here's the thing. I say it's a big week. There's only one headliner this week, and it's a fella named Drew Thomas, who I talked to. And I really enjoyed. He's super funny. First time at the Comedy Castle. So if you're looking to come out and see somebody you've never seen before, this could be a great week because Drew's never been to this club. But he is a veteran. We'll talk about his career and what he's up to in just a second. But going through the calendar here on Wednesday night, February 5th, the Comedy for a Cause is the event with starring Drew Thomas. This is the a bed and breakfast bed. I got to get this right. Bed and Bread Club Radiothon presented by the Salvation Army and the Comedy Castle. And it's a great fundraiser. If you've never been to this one, now tickets are $60 each. There will be, I believe there'll be a meal and some auction opportunities. And it's just a great fundraiser on Wednesday night. We do this thing every single year. It's the 13th one. And it's great. So come on out for that if you want to support a great charity on Wednesday night, 6 p.m., I believe, is the start time for that one. And then Drew is in for the regular allotment of shows this weekend, Thursday, February 6th at 7:30, and then Friday, February 7th at 7:15 and 9:45 p.m. 7 p.m. and 9:30 are your show times on Saturday, February 8th. So come see Drew Thomas, Tam White is your MC, and Dan DeCappa's featuring. So some real solid openers there for you, too. Should be a great week with Drew. He's so funny. We'll tell you more about Drew in 1 second, but I'll just tell you what's been going on this week because why we hadn't been here, and I was talking to somebody about what happened to the show for 2 weeks. We had a hard time getting the acts. That's really the answer there. We try to get the headliners and reach out. And our reaching out didn't reach out far enough, apparently. And some of the acts just were unable to do it with their schedule or chose not to do it. I can't even remember what the excuses were this time. But, hey, some folks didn't do it. That's okay. We had just an amazing run of shows, though, with the Ron Taylor, who's a guy that I saw when he was 18 years old, came to my open mic over at Club Bart in Ferndale and was rocking the house back then. He's been out in L.A. and now Austin, Texas, headlining shows, working with some of the biggest names in comedy. And he had some really, really strong shows this past Saturday night, especially. But last weekend was great with him. We had Don McMillan on Sunday, which was a sold out show. Don is a hilarious engineer turned comedian. You may know him from America's Got Talent. Those were some wonderful shows. And then I'm trying to think the week before that who we had. Well, we had the great Joe DeVito. Joe DeVito's really found an audience for his stuff. He's working as a staff writer on Gutfeld on Fox, and he panels on that show about once a month. And he did a great job. And Smata Adams, shout out to Smata. If you don't know Smata, a funny dude from Detroit, you should get to know Smata because I think he's going to be a big star. Smata's a guy who I recruited. I saw him coming to a show at the club, and I said, well, look, I know who you are because he's my Facebook friend, and I know him as a guy who was acting in, I think it was a Steven Soderbergh movie they shot in Detroit, and he had a little role in that. And I remember seeing him and being like, hey, cool. Hey, dude, I saw you in that movie. It was great. If you're, you know, you're clearly interested in doing a little more comedy, why don't you do the advanced comedy class? And he's taken to that like a fish to water. So shout out to Smata. He made his Comedy Castle weekend debut emceeing for Joe DeVito and had some just terrific shows. And really proud of that guy. Really proud of him. I mean, good dude. Good dude. Good things happening to good people, right? That's the way you got to look at it. And Drew Thomas this week, I was excited to talk to him. He's never been to the Comedy Castle before. He's a comedian, as you'll hear, moved to New York City at the age of 9, made his name for himself in comedy out of the Atlanta area, and him and I will talk a little about Atlanta comedy and Southern comedy, which I did my share of as a road comic. And then he went on to be a regular on cruise ships. And he'll tell you all about working on a cruise ship as a comedian, the good, the bad, the jokes you make. I'm looking at my notes. Oh, I should have asked him about that show. He's friendly with one of the actors from a show I just watched on Max called Get Millie Black, and I forgot to ask him about that. But that is a good show if you want something to watch. I enjoy Get Millie Black. But anyway, he is originally from the island of Jamaica. You'll hear me ask him about Jamaica, as I will be there shortly in a matter of weeks on my honeymoon, of all things. So we'll talk to Drew a little bit about Jamaica and where you need to go in Jamaica. It might surprise you where you got to go. Might surprise you. But we start this episode. Some of these, you hear me and I'm bringing them in. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, all that stuff. Do none of that. We answer the phone. He's funny. He's asking questions about Detroit. It might be 5 minutes of us talking about Detroit pizza. It might be that much. But anyway, here it is. You're going to hear it right now. Here's Drew Thomas. I'll be back after this. I'm Joel, by the way. Nice to meet you, dude.
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm excited to have you at the club this week. It's going to be great.
I can't wait. I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, we got the big benefit Wednesday.
Yes, I've been asking the internet for some food recommendations, but I'm sure you got some.
How about Detroit-style pizza? How's that sound?
No, I'm from New York.
But it's different. They got Detroit-style pizza in New York now.
They do?
They sure do.
I don't even know why it's a thing.
It's a thing,
this
man.
Is like, it's like the great New York-Chicago debate.
It is, yeah. Well, Detroit's its own thing.
And Detroit's trying to get into the debate now.
Yeah, well, it's people that have it like it. So I'd recommend you try. I mean, hey.
But you know what? I'll try it. Since I'm there, I'll try it. I'm learning. I've traveled so much that I've tried new things from all over the place. Nah, so to have Detroit pizza one time wouldn't be the worst thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, there's comedians that come in and that's their thing when they come in is like Detroit style pizza. That's it.
I'm sure. Every time. I got that New York bias.
I bet, man.
Yeah, because when I land in New York, that's my first thing. When I go to the city, whether it's to perform or I just go there until it's time to go to New York, as soon as I get to my hotel, settle in, I go find a pizza spot.
Yeah, okay. Now, is there, because I went to NYU for a while and I'm a frequent visitor.
So you already know. Close to the village.
I did.
Good pizza in the village. Yeah.
I did. I ate pizza. Used to eat pizza. I think my go-to was because just where I was living. I used to eat across the street from the Comedy Cellar.
Right. That's the pizza spot I'm talking about. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but I know the pizza spot.
Yeah, that's the one you go to. That's because people in New York, then you go, I want New York pizza. And they're like, you got to go to this place because this guy's got this oven's 200 years old. And they tell you all these stories and you go.
Right. You got all the years. And Uncle Luigi brought the oven over on his back.
Exactly. That's what they say. But in Detroit, there's a whole mythology to Detroit pizza, too. I'll tell you if you want to know, but you figure it out.
No, I do because I like learning about people are so passionate about regional things.
The thing is, there's a Sicilian guy, and he decided to make a Sicilian-style pizza, which is more of a deep-dish pizza, but he made it in a pan that used to contain auto parts from the factory.
Okay, so it held some type of heat or something?
Yeah, it's just it's kind of heat, and it makes the edges really crisp on the deep-dish pizza because this cast-iron pan that they use makes the edges super crisp.
Okay.
And that's part of the appeal of it is right there. So anyway, he did that and that became Buddy's Pizza, which is sort of a chain now. But then like his chef was a guy named Louie. Well, Louie quit Buddy's and opened Louie's Pizza. So that's still around. You can get that.
So Louie learned from Buddy.
Louie learned from Buddy. And then there's another guy who started Shields Pizza, who was a family member, and he left. and there's a bunch of Shields pieces.
Oh, he was in the kitchen listening.
And then there's a Cloverleaf, which was another dude that worked there that went off on his own to make all from that buddy's tree, that family.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
That's very interesting. So Basically, it really got the name because it was first baked in car parts.
In this little pan, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but that's just, it's a thing. You can get that. I don't know. Coney Island is a chili dog if you want one of those.
Right. So now, do you have a favorite place? What's your favorite Detroit pizza?
If I was going to get Detroit pizza, I would get Buddy's, yes.
Okay.
And now when you go to get Buddy's, here's another thing people tell you. You can go to the original Buddy's, which is where I would go in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to one of the suburban ones. If you go to the original one, it's on 6 Mile. So that's okay. Sort of in the city more. You know what I mean? It's a little rough neighborhood there. But, and the restaurant is real old school. Or you can go out to the burbs where it's real nice, you know? Get it done. Yeah,
I'll try. I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna try it.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Is this a toppings pizza? I've never had it, so I know nothing about Detroit pizza. Is it? Are you known for big pepperoni, little pepperoni? What's the thing? The
pepperoni usually they would say is they do the thing where the pepperoni is under the cheese. That's one thing.
And then
the sauce goes on top of the cheese.
The sauce goes on top of the cheese.
Yes.
I never knew this.
And they say that is because the sauce, it helps keep the dough crispy to put the sauce higher up on the pot.
Or higher up. Oh, the sauce underneath kind of makes the dough
soggy
a little because it baked it with wet stuff on it. Okay, yeah. That's logic. I'm a logical person. You should use this right here as beef footage.
Well, I mean, this could be the show if you want it to be, man. I'm laughing. I'm having a good time, so.
That's what's up.
But let's just.
I'm sure you had questions ready.
I got lots of questions, but we can start with that. But listen, man, excited to have you. I was reading and watching clips of you, and really enjoying your stuff and your life story because you talk about New York.
Yeah.
And it says you moved there as a young kid.
Yeah, I was born in Jamaica. I'm from Jamaica originally, so I came to New York when I was 9.
Yeah. But
dropped in the middle of the start of hip hop in 81.
There you go. That's a good time to be around.
Sure was.
Yeah. And then it says Atlanta was the start of comedy for you. Is that the case?
Yeah, started comedy in Atlanta. I was going back to school. I was working on a dual degree in communication and theater. Mm-hmm. I had already earned an associate's in theater, so I transferred to this other school. But while I was at that school, I noticed that I had really connected with the college age kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm older than these kids, but I'm making these kids laugh. They're hanging around with me. Mm-hmm. I said, that's everybody. If you can make college kids laugh, you already could make your own age group laugh. Even as a kid, I was able to make my parents' friends laugh. That's all you need in a comedy audience.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I just went in. I said they were doing a comedy show and they hired a local comedian from Atlanta. And I was like, let me open for him. Mm-hmm. I just felt it was time. Like, they wouldn't let me fail. You know what I mean? Kind of like that. I trusted them.
Yeah.
To be a good first crowd. And best decision I ever made. We coming up on February 12th, around the corner, is 21 years.
No, that's terrific, dude. Yeah, I used to tour. I've been working at the club for about 13 years. But okay. I was on the road. I dipped into Atlanta for a minute. Did a guest spot at the Punchline, which was a great club.
That's where I started. I started at the Punchline.
Now that club's gone, right? They tore down the original.
It's still there. It moved. But the original club is gone.
It's gone,
it moved.
I like
10 minutes down the street.
Yeah, I like that original club with the balcony and stuff. That was nice.
I did too. That club was there since, I think it opened in 82.
Okay, yeah.
And I started there as an open micer. Started there as open mic, signing up. Mm-hmm. You have to sign up and then look for your name on the list for the following week.
Yeah.
I signed up 6 weeks in a row before I get on.
That's what people say about the open mic at the Comedy Castle. Same deal. A lot of guys want to do it. Yeah.
But I noticed a lot of these young comics, not all of them, you know, people will come on and go, I wasn't like that. Or my friend, they want to skip steps.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they do.
And it's not a, you know, every now and then you have a case of a person with lightning in a bottle and you go, this guy auditioned for Lorne Michaels and he made SNL. Yes, that's, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that won't happen.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you can't skip steps.
Yeah. Well, it makes you good to open for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I've went on tours. I've opened for people. I've done theaters, but everything was along the way. You start open mic, then you start hosting at your local club. You know, maybe if you're lucky, they let you feature one day because the headliner didn't bring a feature. There was a fallout.
Yeah, right.
You start regionally where you live. You know, most guys start driving about 4 hours out from wherever they start, wherever they live. Mm-hmm. And then you start to take it out further. You know, then I started flying and started featuring all over the country. And then you move up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you would have done Comedy Zone stuff, I'm guessing.
I started with the Comedy Zone. I sure did.
Yeah, I did a few of those. Yeah.
There was a time when the Comedy Zone probably was responsible for maybe 80% of my calendar.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I always like working for Comedy Zone. Stuff was real far away from me being in Detroit, but the stuff that I did was great.
Right. Yeah. It was good for being in the Southeast because, you know, Florida, Tennessee, mm-hmm. Alabama, Virginia, Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know, all South Carolina, North Carolina, all those surrounding states.
Yeah.
So I drove a lot. Yeah. I don't drive anymore. My limit is 6 hours.
Okay.
If the gig is past 6 hours, I'm flying.
That's it. I agree with that one. I did.
I've done it.
In the Southeast, I'm asking, did you ever do Giggles in Florida? You ever do their runs?
Was that, what's the guy, Joe Silva?
I don't know. Name's not ringing a bell.
No, that was Groucho's. No, I never did Giggles. There was a Groucho's guy.
Yeah, Giggles was not great, but I did it. I was a young.
No, Groucho's wasn't either.
$75 a night to open. That's what I
got. I was going to say. I think I got $250 for the weekend.
You get $75 a night in a 3-hour drive between shows.
Oh, man, it was longer because I had to fly standby and rent a car. This club was in, Melbourne, Florida.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, Giggles was, they call it Giggles, but it was just a different, restaurant every night. And they put up a little sign.
That's how Groucho's was the same thing. It would be like, what the one I did was in a Japanese steakhouse.
Wow. Yeah.
And a restaurant. It was a Saturday gig. And it was, I think it was Friday, Saturday. It was $250 for the weekend. And I remember calling my buddy. I was like, I'm booked.
Yeah. I'm in Florida. You always be impressive. Hey, I'm in Florida. And they're like, what town are you in? And I tell them the town. And they're like, I've never heard of that town. And I'm like, I don't think anyone else has either.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a small town next to even a smaller town. Exactly. Cause you're like, you know where Ocala is?
Yeah, I did Ocala. Like, yeah.
It's outside of Ocala. And you're like, that's even smaller.
Yeah, I did some really tough, but that was the road, man. I would go anywhere back in the day starting out.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, but you got good gigs. I saw you on the, looks like you're regular on Royal Caribbean. I've been on Royal Caribbean. Those are terrific ships, man. They do a good job.
Those are great ships. It's a great company. I just got off a ship yesterday. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Just came from warm weather. Now I'm pulling out the thermals to come to the Michigan.
Yeah, I don't know what the... I already
looked it up. It's going to be in the 30s.
Well, but I'm going to tell you, 30s ain't too bad.
Well, I'm coming from 75 right now, yeah. so I'm coming in with the thermals. I'm putting them on before I get on the plane.
That, man. But let me ask you about cruise ships, because I know as someone who has gone on cruise ships for fun, and I've gone and watched the comedy show, and I've talked to the guys after the show, I find out that some guys just completely love the cruise ships. Some guys say that, well, hey, the money's great. I don't like being away from my family. Some guys don't like get bored with being on those things. Where do you come down on all of that?
It depends on the day. I'm all of those. I mean, it's easy to get bored. You're by yourself. So unless you brought somebody with you, mm-hmm. you know, some guys only do 7 days or less. Some guys will do 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You got guys who are willing to go out longer. So I've experienced all those emotions. I've experienced boredom. I've experienced, oh, man, I'd like to get back home. Like, my hobby is shooting guns. I don't play golf. Okay. So going to the gun range is my happy place. Mm-hmm. So after a while, you're like, oh, man, I'd like to get home and shoot my gun. Like, I went today. I went to the range today.
Yeah.
Because I've been on the road 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's also, the shows are great, and it's also good pay, and, you know, it's fun too.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I noticed as a comic going in and watching the shows was I had heard, because some of the guys that mentored me, the real veterans, would do these ships, and they would be like, well, you're always working with a magician and you got to be squeaky clean because you're in this theater, and then they're going to have a juggler after you and all this stuff. And now when I went, it was like, well, that's a comedy club. They have a little comedy club. And it's like, this is so much better.
The Comedy Club in Hermosa Beach is that. Yeah. The guy in front of you might be a magician, and then it's a comedian.
So
when you hear that side of it,
yeah,
those are the people that's kind of saying, in a way, they can't do it.
Yeah, but I feel like the cruise lines figured out that comedy is a thing that we can make it its own thing. It doesn't have to be child-friendly this thing.
No, on Royal, you do a family show. Yeah. So, yes, kids can come, but I don't write jokes for children.
Yeah.
It just means TV friendly.
Mm, yeah.
People nut up when they see kids at the show, like, oh my God. But I just pretend they're at home watching the TV with their parents. Yeah. I didn't write a joke for an 8-year-old.
Yeah. And your kids probably, you're not going to have the greatest time anyway.
Exactly. They're not going to remember. If they're a little older, they remember. They'll see you around the ship and they're like, hey, I really enjoyed your show. I like your jokes. And you go, okay. I'm doing it right, because I got a 12-year-old fan. Mm. I got his parents, and his grandmother just said, I'm the funniest comedian she ever seen. So that's everybody.
Yeah, yeah. No, I you know, like I said, I got friends that just, they swear by him, and I have guys that go out, they do one, and they go, not for me. Not for me.
Yes, but I can see that. And if it's not for you, don't go out there. If it don't go mess up your brand or make the cruise ship look bad, if it's not for you. If it's not for you, it's not for you. If you could find a way. You know, some guys, they got to come out their comfort zone because they might have to write another 30 minutes, you know, for the ship. Because you got enough. Some ships is two clean shows. Some ships, it's an adult show and a family show.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to be prepared. You got to have a lot of stuff in your arsenal. Mm-hmm. You know, for the week, depending on the ship, you could end up doing an hour and a half of material.
Yeah. Do you do either cruise or destination jokes? Do you have a because I remember the guy I saw was talking about, St. Martin's got the nude beach. Who went to the nude beach? Do you have that kind of stuff, or is it
no?
Do your thing.
Yeah, I just do my thing. I got some observations I've made on the ship, that stuff I've seen, but I've seen that what you're talking about. You like, this guy, he wrote that, and we didn't even go there today.
What's the funniest observation just from that ship life that you've seen with people? Or
the elevator. You notice so much on the elevator. Like, most ships, they put the day of the week on the elevator in the carpet.
Yep, I've seen that.
And it's people on the ship 3-4 days in, and they just notice. They're like, oh, today must be Tuesday, huh? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes, ma'am, it is. See, I just noticed that. And I'm like, we've been here 3 days, though. And I was like, so you didn't notice Monday or Sunday on the elevator? And they'll be like, no. Or how people lose their sense of direction.
Yeah.
Once they get on the ship, they have no sense of direction. Mm-hmm. And they make it easy because all the placards on the ship is facing the way the ship is facing.
Yeah.
So it's only front, back, port side, starboard side. Mm-hmm. There's no need to be walking in a circle.
Yeah. I've done that, though. I've gone the complete wrong way. I'm one of those. First day, and they just,
First day, I go learn the ship. Yeah, if it's a ship I've never been on before, I go put my stuff down and I go, let me go get lost and find my way back to my room.
Yeah. There you go. That's great advice. If you're cruising.
And I tell people that if I do a show the very first night, I'll tell them that. So I do the jokes in like an informative way of what they got to look forward to for the week.
Yeah.
And, you know, welcome to your cruise and lay it out to them like an orientation. But the jokes are in there. And by the time that's finished, that's 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And you like see me in a couple of days for the adult show. Now the theater is packed for the adult show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I thought they
but there's nothing like a comedy club. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, all of that, all in all, there's nothing like Saturday night, 8 o'clock in a comedy club with just regular people. You know, Joey mm-hmm. and his girl came and they might have argued earlier that day and they came in the truck and they just want to get out for a date and they're going to have some drinks and laugh their ass off. And those laughs are just harder to that hardworking person,
right.
You know, that regular person than, say, this rich person on vacation. Not that everybody on the cruise ship is rich, but you know what I mean?
Right.
The vacation mindset is different from, man, I got to work today, Friday. I really need a good laugh.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the cruise ship is we're doing what's there to do tonight. Let's go do that.
Yes. You're in addition to the piano bar, or you know the dance club or trivia. You're giving the people options of something to do. When you come to the comedy club, you meant to do that. It was on your calendar, or this is your favorite comedian, or I never heard of this guy, but let's go check him out. You make plans to do it. You got to get a babysitter. There's effort.
Yeah, I was watching your stuff and the clip we play. You know, we do the previews before the show. You know, so for the last few weeks, we've been watching you.
Right.
From Laughs. I remember your bit from Laughs, but. Steve Hofstetter's show. Yeah. There's another.
Yeah. I taped that in Vegas.
Yeah. The thing about going to white people's houses and they just give you stuff.
Yeah. When you tell them you like something, that's a true story. I experienced that.
Yeah. The whole crew's been laughing at that one all week. We think that's terrific.
Yeah, that's true stuff, man. Yeah. It's like that. You be like, man, that's a nice grandfather clock there. Well, you be like, you like it? Take it. And you're like, I don't know where I'm gonna put it, but I'm gonna take this grandfather clock.
You talked about you stay over a white person's house and they got pajamas for you.
They got pajamas for you. They're gonna make you pancakes.
That stuff's so good, man. I enjoy that.
It's a good time. My comedy is to, when people really get it, that what I'm doing is showing people how we're more alike than people think.
Right,
we're more humans than this group or that group. Because if you talk to a guy from Italy or, you know, anywhere in Europe or a guy from Africa, a guy from Japan, you can find out within 10 minutes that, your wife does that too. So it doesn't matter of culture or language or how somebody looks. All five of those men, their wives get on their nerves.
Yeah, you're right.
Because men and women are different. Wives do these things. Husbands do these things. So it doesn't matter. So we get caught up on all these other things and you realize you put your pants on the same way he puts his pants on. You like French fries, he like French fries. So I try to focus on that.
I'll tell you what, dude. I'm getting married in 3 weeks.
Ah, did you hear what happened to Joel?
Getting married in 3 weeks, but I'm excited.
Hey, congrats, man.
Thank you, sir. And here's the other thing, and this just ties in so nicely to my life talking to you on this show here, because we have decided, we have planned this, and it's been paid for over 1 year. We are honeymooning in Jamaica.
Hey, that's a beautiful place. Where are you going? The Grill, Ocho Rios?
We are going to, I don't want to say it, but it's north side near a Falmouth.
Okay. Yes, that's beautiful place.
Nice resort there.
Beautiful. I hope it's excellence resort. If it's that resort, you're gonna enjoy yourself.
I think we'll enjoy ourselves. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. It's beautiful. Jamaica's nice. You're gonna enjoy the service, the food. I just went for Christmas. Me and my my mother and my sister went for Christmas.
Nice. Now, is there anything that I should be doing off the resort in Jamaica? Anywhere I should go?
I wouldn't. Stay on the resort.
Really? Okay. that could work. All right. So I've done all this research on Jamaica, and people say this, and please, I do not. This may come off as somewhat insensitive, or you can think of me whatever you want, or anyone listening. People say you have to go. Maybe you know, or maybe you don't know. You have to go to KFC in Jamaica.
It's a must.
Why? Why is that? I love KFC.
I'm gonna tell you the reason.
Yes.
It's not American chickens. It's not chickens that's fed hormones and mass produced on our chicken farms here. These are island chickens. They fed corn, grain, they free range. These chickens have attitude. These are real free range chickens.
Because I told
so it's the chicken. It's not the recipe. It's not in anything in the preparation.
It's just the
fact that you could tell the difference in the taste of the chicken.
Interesting. Well, I told my fiance, I said, I think we're gonna go to KFC. She goes, are you out of your mind? I said, I think we're going to go. I had KFC last night here. Yes.
You got to go. That's a must.
We're going.
You would be surprised how many people in the airport on the flight going out has a bucket of KFC.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Because there's two near the airport, the Montego Bay airport.
Okay, yeah, that's where we're flying in,
Yes, you flying into Montego Bay.
Yeah.
The KFC, but that's the difference. It's the chicken. Mm. It's like if you had grocery store chicken and then you went to somebody's private house who raised chickens and you got a fresh chicken. Mm. It wasn't fed the government stuff. It doesn't have the steroids in it, all the food, all the thing the USDA allow.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So the freshness is in the chicken. You're like, oh, this is different. So any island, any Caribbean island I go to, I go to KFC. Bermuda, Tobago, Jamaica, Aruba has one, Curacao. I'm like, where's the KFC?
That's your. So when Drew gets into port, that's where he's going.
I'm going to the KFC. There's one right outside the port in Curacao, and I make a beeline to that KFC.
That's great. So if I was doing cruise ships as a comic, that'd be what I'm doing too.
Me and you would go to the KFC. I've been to Bermuda. Yeah. To all the places I've named, I've been to those KFCs.
Nice. That's great, man. Yeah.
That's like if I'm an alien, that's your leader. Take me to your KFC.
We're going for sure. That's it.
So definitely, even if she don't want to go with you, you can find a driver to take you. And he'll take you to the KFC, watch over you, make sure you get your KFC safely, and bring you back to the resort. Nothing will happen to you.
Sounds great, man.
Just don't go exploring willy-nilly.
No, I don't plan on that. I don't plan on that. But I'm looking forward. It's beautiful. You know, we did a lot of research on where to go for a honeymoon.
Oh, you did good research if you found that out. Yeah. Yes, the KFC is a must.
Yes, yes. KFC and Jamaica and all of that. So,
and of course, you're going to get the regular stuff, some jerk chicken, some beef patties. Yeah. You know, you got to get you some soup, you know. Sounds get in there. Get some seafood. Get some lobster. Some crab. Red snapper. You got to get some red snapper with it steamed or fried. You got to get all of that. Get down to the beach. Stick your toe in the water.
We're going to do it. It's going to be a good time.
You're going to have a ball. How long you guys staying?
About a week.
All right.
7 nights. Yeah. So it's going to be a good time.
Man, that's good.
Thank you. And this weekend, big shows with you this weekend. Big fundraiser on Wednesday. 5 shows Thursday through Saturday. It's going to be a nice time. You got to come out and see Drew. You've never been to the Comedy Castle, I take it, or have you?
I've never been. This is my first time. This is my debut. I look forward for everybody coming out. Let's get to know each other. It's going to be a good time.
You're going to bring the thermals and you'll have a great time.
I'm bringing the thermals. They're already out. I just got a pack. I just got back from Bimini on my last trip. So I had to swap out my clothes for Detroit.
Well, we'll see you. We'll see you. It's going to be a great time, Drew. Thanks for talking to me today.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, there you have it, people. From Detroit pizza to Jamaican KFC. That's what you learned on this show. And I think you learned through that Drew Thomas is a funny dude. And there's going to be some really terrific shows this week. I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to going to Jamaica, too. But for this week, I'll be at the club with Drew Thomas, hanging out, doing that offstage announcement, taking you to your seat, all the stuff that I do there. And Drew's going to be on stage making you laugh, as he did with me. You heard me. I laughed through that whole interview. Unbelievable. So thanks to Drew for talking to me. And we'll catch you this week. We'll catch you this week at the Comedy Castle. It's going to be a good one. Just a quick plug before we go. Comedy classes, always starting at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Bill Bichart teaches the beginner comedy class. There's sessions on Monday and Saturday. And if you've done those or you've been doing comedy and you want to learn how to be a professional working stand-up comedian, I will teach you how to do that in my advanced comedy class. That is Saturdays at 12:30. I got another session starting in late March. But the group I've got now, they're going to have a graduation show. We'll probably talk about it next week. Those guys are unbelievable. I got 13 really, really funny, talented, nice, decent folks that I am working with on Saturday afternoons and having a blast. So, hey, that's going to do it for this show. I want to thank you guys for listening. Come on out, check out Drew Thomas. If you can get to the fundraiser and support that cause, that's terrific. If not, just come out Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We got great shows, and we'll catch you next time, all right? Next week, we'll be back. I promise. Comedy Castle Podcast, we're out. See you at the club.